From the heart of our nation's capital, here's Family Research Council President Tony Perkins.
Well, good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to Washington Watch. The unrest in Iran continues after the Iranian government admitted to shooting down a Ukrainian international jet, killing all 176 people aboard. Some Middle East experts suggest this could be the beginning of the end for the Iranian regime, already under extreme pressure from U.S. sanctions. Pennsylvania Congressman Scott Perry is here with more in just a moment. And how deep is the unrest in Iran? What role is the regime's religious oppression and persecution playing in that unrest? Hermaz Sherat, president of Iran Live Ministries, joins me a little bit later. Also, January is Human Trafficking Awareness Month. The data shows that more than 100,000 children are trafficked here in the U.S., and the problem is more prevalent than you think. Earlier today, the White House Director of Domestic Policy, Joe Grogan, was in Georgia along with Governor Brian Kemp and Ivanka Trump, touring facilities that help those who have been sexually trafficked. Joe Grogan joins us a little later here on Washington Watch. And California Governor Gavin Newsom making a declaration that California will be a no-kill state. Has the California leader seen the light? We'll talk about it a little later here on Washington Watch when David Clawson, the director of FRC's Director of Christian Ethics and Biblical Worldview, joins me. The website, TonyPerkins.com. If you're on Twitter, at T Perkins. Hey, by the way, let me remind you once again, because it's right around the corner, Stand Courageous, the men's conference that FRC is doing, will be in Kernersville, North Carolina on the 24th and 25th of this month. And at the end of the month, 31st of January, 1st of February, we'll be in Pensacola, Florida. To find out how you can be a part of that, man, go to TonyPerkins.com and follow the links over. All right. A lot happening on the front as it pertains to Iraq, Iran, and the unrest there is becoming quite intense. In fact, the New York Times admitting that indirectly that the Trump administration's policies are having an effect when it comes to Iran, saying that they were unwilling to take the United States on because of their shaky economy, which has given even further fuel to the unrest there in Iran. Joining me now to talk more about this, Scott Perry, who represents the 10th District of Pennsylvania. Prior to serving in the Congress, he was in the United States Army, retiring as a brigadier general. In fact, flew 44 missions over Iraq as a lieutenant colonel. Congressman, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Tony, great to be with you. A lot happening in D.C. and, of course, around the world today.
Well, it is. Earlier today, Nancy Pelosi and the Democrats moving the impeachment articles over to the Senate. So that's one news item. No surprise there, but she's finally moving. Any other news we have on that front?
Well, no, we voted on the rule here today, and I suspect tomorrow will be the bill that includes the managers. And then she literally will take the about 90-second trip from the House side to the Senate side to deliver the articles, and then the process can begin. So it's somewhat, quite honestly, anticlimactic, only from the sense that we were told that, as America was, that this was urgent. The president was an existential threat. We had to impeach him immediately because of the damage he was doing to the United States and potentially the national security implications of keeping him in as president. And so it was so urgent, we couldn't even be bothered to go to the courts to enforce subpoenas. Almost a month later, finally, this urgency is coming to fruition, and it's going to head to the Senate. So I hope that people see this for the complete farce that it is.
Let me go back to Iran, which I think is the real news, and I think it's important that we not take our eye off what's happening around the world, because I think it could have deadly consequences. And I think this is a part of the distraction that's taking place with the impeachment. Of course, before that, you had the Russia investigation, and it's going to have deadly consequences. But let me ask you this about the Trump administration's approach to Iran. Is it working?
Well, I'll tell you what, it sure seems to be having a greater effect than the approach over the last 40 years, which, quite honestly, I would characterize from both Republicans and Democrats as an approach of appeasement. We would do anything to placate and Iran, hope that they wouldn't increase their malign activity, and essentially, if not just outwardly, disregard their activities, even when it meant the deaths of literally hundreds and hundreds of Americans and the maimings for life of literally thousands more. And then, of course, it doesn't account for the deaths around the globe and the destruction around the globe, their terrorist and malign activities. And so this president has said that we are no longer going to we're just no longer going to placate this terrorist regime, this terrorist state, who uses terrorism as statecraft, and we're going to warn them. We're going to give them fair warning. We're going to be open and let them know that we are interested in dialogue. We're interested in diplomacy. We're interested in them joining the you know, the rest of the world of nations. But we will no longer accept their terrorist activities regarding America and America's interests. And of course, what you're seeing is them responding. People say, well, the president is escalating. The president is responding to 40 years of dereliction, in my opinion, dereliction of duty by policymakers and generally speaking, the town of Washington, D.C., that was either more willing to make money because they would disregard Iran, or more willing to have what they considered a stability circumstance regarding Iran. And, of course, the people that were saying that weren't the people that were sent to war to fight in Iraq or Afghanistan, who are dealing with the malign activities of Iran and losing their lives, their legs, their arms, and their good night's sleep, whether it was due to PTSD or alcoholism or a breakup of the family or what have you, as a result of their time in combat with these known combatants that were on the battlefield that were just ignored. And so I think that the final chapter is yet to be written on the Trump doctrine. But what you're seeing is the effects of the Trump doctrine and the fact that Iran doesn't have – they have very few places to go. And he's giving them the ultimatum, either change your ways or suffer the consequences, whether they suffer the consequences of their own people, which you enumerated regarding the demonstrations, or the consequences of their decisions, which lead to a strike by the United States or our coalition partners, that it's their choice.
Well, in the way the media and the left is responding to the what you call the Trump doctrine, it is a foreign concept because we've been in this appeasement mode for decades, for nearly well over a half century. But yesterday, for instance, the Attorney General William Barr was discussing the shootings at the Pensacola Naval Air Station in Florida, and one reporter asked Barr about the going to the Soleimani assassination, you know, went to the prospects of supposed imminent attacks planned by Soleimani before he was killed, suggesting, you know, as it left, is that, well, the president just did this to try to take the attention off impeachment. We now know that they've been looking at the legality of this and tracking this back since June. But I want to play this clip from the Attorney General William Barr yesterday. Play clip number two of the AG, Bobby.
I believe there was intelligence of imminent attack, but I do believe that this concept of imminence is something of a red herring. I think when you're dealing with a situation where you already have attacks underway, you know there is a campaign that involves repeated attacks on American targets. I don't think there's a requirement, frankly, for knowing the exact time and place of the next attack, and that certainly was the position of the Obama administration when it droned leaders of terrorist organizations.
I mean, the president is just putting America first in the interest of America and the safety of American citizens.
There's no doubt about it, Tony. The hard left, the radicals on that side, are left literally defending terrorists and quibbling over these little issues that are of no consequence. As the Attorney General said, maybe your listeners don't know but the president did consult with the Department of Justice regarding the legality of the strike. Of course, the former Homeland Security Secretary Jay Johnson, a Democrat, probably not a fan of the president, has enumerated that it was completely legal in every context. It's a combat zone with a known designated terrorist who's not supposed to be traveling in that combat zone where we are congressionally authorized to conduct combat operations. I mean, they're simply, it's absurd. Any of these assertions that they're making are absurd. And of course, I know that they're immune to hypocrisy, but your listeners need to know that I think it's on the number of about 526 drone strikes under the Obama administration, most of them outside of the combat zone where we have no authorization
right.
whatsoever, and other sovereign nations, including Osama bin Laden. And of course, we none of us quibbled with that because
no,
we
applauded it.
Yeah, these are terrorists. We want to be taking them off the battlefield, and we agree with those actions. And Congress has never consulted yet none of the Democrats and the hard left that are complaining now had a thing to say during 526 separate drone strikes, literally thousands, Tony, of people killed by the Obama administration, and suddenly it's they're consulting their constitution and they're crying foul when this president is keeping Americans safe. And these are people that are willing to send your sons and daughters to war, knowing that this combatant Soleimani is out on the battlefield killing Americans, but unwilling to do anything about that. It's literally dereliction of duty. It is disgusting to me, yet they are hard fast in their position. Of course, it's all due to they are blinded by their antipathy towards President Trump.
You're listening to Washington Watch. I'm your host, Tony Perkins. So glad to have you with us. Congressman Scott Perry of Pennsylvania represents the 10th District, my guest. Retired Brigadier General, flew 44 combat missions over Iraq. When you look at what's happening right now, and I've been talking to some people on the ground over there. We're going to have an Iranian pastor on in just a moment. We could be the closest we have been since, 1979 in seeing the people of Iran free again.
No doubt about it. I mean, and just in case, look, memory, especially for these kind of events, is fleeting. But you remember there was what was called an orange, I think, revolution during the Obama administration, where the people of Iran during election cycle said, we've had enough of this theocracy, this dictatorship that's so oppressive and murderous. And President Obama, of course, supported the, as he put it, the duly elected or duly the lawful leadership of Iran. It's just absolutely it is moribund, and it lacks any moral clarity whatsoever. There's some a moral compass that comes with being a leader in the world, and the United States should have it. And of course, the difference between President Obama and President Trump is President Trump is willing to support people that long to be free,
and we should support him in that effort. Congressman Scott Perry, as always, great to have you on the program. Appreciate you joining us today.
Thank you, sir. Have a great day. God bless you.
You too. Scott Perry of Pennsylvania serves on the House Foreign Affairs Committee. Very knowledgeable guy. Enjoy working with him. All right, when we come back, we are going to discuss this situation on the ground. What's happening in Iran? Hormoz Sharif is going to join us. He oversees a ministry that reaches into Iran. He's Iranian, but now ministers throughout the Middle East. He's here next. Don't go away.
Join FRC live via webcast for the 15th annual Pro-LifeCon Digital Action Summit. On January 24th from FRC's headquarters in Washington, you'll hear from political leaders, bloggers, journalists, and activists who will share how they view social media and other digital tools to further the pro-life message. You'll be empowered to better reach your own communities by learning best practices from those who are at the cutting edge of the digital pro-life movement. Tune in Friday, January 24th at 8 a.m. at prolifecon.com.
We all need to be lectured sometimes. Family Research Council's new podcast features selected talks by top thinkers from the archives of the FRC Speaker Series. Our podcast podium takes on tough issues like religious liberty, life, marriage, family, sexuality, public policy, and the culture, all from a biblical worldview. Listen with us to the lecture, then stick around afterward as we break down the content. The Lecture Me podcast is available wherever podcasts are found, or visit frc.org/podcasts.
Ever hear the term toxic masculinity? Hello, this is Tony Perkins, president of the Family Research Council. Masculinity is under attack in our culture. The American Psychological Association released guidelines declaring traditional masculinity ideology as harmful. Brown University, an Ivy League school, offered a course, Unlearning Toxic Masculinity, explaining that rigid definitions of masculinity are toxic to men's health. And a University of Texas class, Masculine UT, treated masculinity as if it were a mental health crisis. Thankfully, the culture does not have the last word on true masculinity. God does. Our Stand Courageous Men's conferences offer biblical solutions to the crisis of manhood. We seek to help men develop character, cultivate habits, build relationships, and make commitments that will move them closer to God's design. Check out StandCourageous.com for an event in your area. That's StandCourageous.com. One other trip. Welcome back to Washington Watch. I'm your host, Tony Perkins. So glad to have you with us. The website, TonyPerkins.com. All right, how deep is this unrest in Iran? And what role is the regime's religious oppression and persecution playing in the unrest? Have the people had enough there? Is this just, you know, a few people making some noise? Or are we, as we were just talking about with Congressman Perry, on the verge of another, well, what I would call, I talked about it yesterday, another Arab Spring, an uprising that could see the people of Iran being free again. Joining now to talk about this is Dr. Hormoz Shariat. He is the president of Iran Alive Ministries and has been called the Billy Graham of Iran because of the effective satellite television broadcast to the Middle East and Europe. Iran Alive's ministries reach millions of people and have brought hundreds of thousands of Muslims to Jesus Christ since its creation. Dr. Shariat, welcome to Washington Watch.
Well, thank you, Tony, for inviting me to share.
Let me just start with that question. How deep is the unrest right now in Iran?
Well, it has been happening gradually the last 10, 15 years, and it's getting more and more intense. And the disconnect between the government and the people is just widening so much. And the number of people who not just rejected the government, but they are disgusted with the government is increasing. With the killing of the young people on streets, the numbers have never been like that. It was just a few hundred 10 years ago. Now over 1,500 young people have been killed on streets. And the shooting down by mistake of this airplane and everything else has brought such a disgust of people from the government, and they have no credibility. People want to change the government, but they don't have the power. So that's why all they can do is to come on the streets and get killed. By the way, this makes them even more disgusted. They had 3 days of mourning for the Soleimani, who was a terrorist outside, but he was a killer inside also. And now all these young people who are killed, they do not allow their family members, the parents, to have mourning, to gather with their friends and family members to mourn for the death of their child. Some who have done it, they are in jail. These are parents whose child is killed, they are in jail. And after the downing of that airplane, people came on streets the last few days just to mourn and to protest. And they have been arrested and being killed. So people are looking at 3 days of mourning for your general and not allowing even our parents to mourn for their kids. They are disgusted with the government. And by the way, it's an Islamic government. One thing about Iran is that Islam and government are one. This is a state led by clergy for 40 years. So when they reject the government, at the same time they're rejecting Islam. That's why Iran has the fastest growing evangelical population in the world. That's why millions of Iranian Muslims are open to the gospel, because they're done with Islam.
So, Dr. Chariot, let me ask you this. The president and especially the Secretary of State, Mike Pompeo, who I've had on the program several times, when they talk about Iran, the Iranian people, very clear to distinguish between the people of Iran, who they make it very clear they're not our enemy. We have nothing against the Iranian people. Is it appropriate to draw that clear line of distinction between the government of Iran and the people?
Definitely so. Most people do not know Iranians love Americans. I boldly say there are no nation in the world that loves Americans more than Iranians. Example, if you go online, you can see these. The last few days, you see clips of people in Iran. The government has put the flag of U.S. under the feet of people. So when they protest, they will walk over the flag of U.S. All these clips, more than one, show the people do not step on the flag of U.S. They go around it. They respect. They love U.S. But at the same time, they are trampling on the picture of Khamenei, the supreme leader. People of Iran love America. America is for them is an ideal society. They want, if they had freedom, they would have a democracy American style.
I've seen those video clips from, a university in Tehran where they are refusing to walk on the American flag. Dr. Chariot, with that in mind, how should Christians in America be looking at the present situation in Iran, and how should they be praying?
Iran is at the verge of war. There is a danger of war, and the suffering, the financial suffering, the killing, the brutality of the government. So, number one, this is the greatest spiritual opportunity. All these events of the last few months, even the downing of this airplane, has brought people to the point of rejecting Islam that makes them open to the message of the gospel. One thing, pray for the people of Iran to come to Christ. I know there are political things, and we need to pray for that. But on the spiritual side, this is the time for the gospel to go forth. This is the time that people's eyes are open to the fallacy of Islam and to the truth of Christianity. They're so open. There is no hope in Iran, but the only hope is Jesus Christ. Number one, pray for that open window. Pray for ourselves that we may not lose this open window. This is a historical opportunity. Sometimes I feel we Christians at the West, we're missing the opportunity to impact the nation for Christ. And pray for Christians to be bold. Christians in Iran to be bold. Let's pray for that.
All right. We will definitely do that. Dr. Chariot, thank you so much for taking a few moments to join with us today. Appreciate the work that you do in the Middle East in sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Thank you, Tony. I appreciate you.
All right. Dr. Hormoz Chariot. To find out more, go to the website, TonyPerkins.com. And do that. Be praying for the people of Iran. This is a unique moment which will have implications for all of the Middle East. All right. Coming up next, January is Human Trafficking Awareness Month. The White House Director of Domestic Policy, Joe Grogan, was down in Atlanta today visiting a couple of centers. He's going to join us next. Don't go away. Welcome back to Washington Watch. I'm your host, Tony Perkins. So glad to have you along on this Tuesday afternoon. January is Human Trafficking Awareness Month. Now, as I mentioned at the top of the program, the data shows that more than 100,000 children are trafficked in the U.S. I'm telling you, the problem is more prevalent than you think. Total, there are estimates of 24.9 million adults and children who are trapped in some form of modern slavery around the world. Well, the Trump administration actually making this a focal point, and today, advisor to the president, Ivanka Trump, Trump, along with Assistant to the President and Director of Domestic Policy Council, Joe Grogan, were in Atlanta today to accompany the Governor Brian Kemp and the First Lady to tour two safe haven facilities that help sex trafficking survivors get closer to the issues and just kind of work through and come back healed, restored, and back into society. And joining us now is Joe Grogan. As mentioned, he's the domestic policy advisor at the White House. Joe, welcome to Washington Watch.
Thank you so much for having me, Tony. I very much appreciate it.
Well, this is a big issue for this administration, a lot of focus on human trafficking. And today you joined Ivanka and Governor Kemp in actually touring some of these facilities. What did you see?
Well, we went to two facilities. We went to Wellspring and City of Refuge. And both of these institutions, I've got to tell you, faith is a central component to what they're doing. Healing is a central component to what they're doing. And getting women who've been trafficked and been exploited, sexually abused, sexually assaulted into society, functioning, getting them jobs, getting them self-sufficient, is the work is just tremendously inspiring as to what they're doing. And most importantly, the voices of the women who were making this transition for self-sufficiency and healing, their stories were just incredibly powerful. I got to tell you, they were moving to me personally. They were inspiring. Your heart's in your throat when you're listening to these women talk, and then you realize how brave, courageous they truly are, and how strong they are that they're getting through this. I mean, the stories of being exploited, to your point about children, many of them were their exploitation, their trafficking began when they were kids, and it carried on into adulthood. We don't do a very good job of dealing with this issue for adults, but especially for kids. I mean, we have something like 5,000-6,000 animal shelters in the United States, and we've got maybe 500-700 beds total for children who've been trafficked or exploited in this way. And what do we do with these kids when we find that they're being exploited in many cases by their own family members, by their own caregivers? We've got to do better by them, and that was one of the focuses of our trip today.
Now, Joe, one of the things when I first became more aware of this, of course, has been over a decade or so ago. A lot of people, when they hear human trafficking, sex trafficking, they think, oh, yeah, this is some third world country where this is happening. This is happening in neighborhoods all across America.
You're exactly right. And you mentioned the increasing awareness of it. I mean, we're actually getting more data in, and it's been a focus for us to get better data so we can devote resources and law enforcement personnel and human services resources to combat the problem. HHS has established, the Department of Health and Human Services has established a hotline, and I want to give it to your listeners, of 888-373-7888 for people who find themselves in a traffic situation, an exploitative situation like this, who can call and get help. And I think your point, as we're getting more aware of this, more people are talking about it. That is a key to this getting at the root cause of this problem and getting these women into a better state, because many of them, they'll tell the story that they didn't realize what was going on. They didn't realize they were being trafficked, when they're being trafficked by family members, when they're being trafficked by friends or people that they're in a relationship with who they think loves them. And helping them get their mind around this and starting a conversation around this is so important.
It really is. And the awareness is the first step to addressing it. Obviously, there's dealing with the victims, and this is where a lot of organizations, institutions, faith-based and others are ministering. But it's also addressing the broader cultural issues that are leading to this. And this is one of the things that this administration has put a top priority on. And part of that is just welcoming faith back into the public square.
Absolutely. And I can tell you, it's a pleasure to work for a president who puts this front and center and talks about it. And alongside Ivanka, for instance, who is not, she's always about, yes, I can draw attention to something, but I really want substance to be behind it. And my team works very closely with her and her team to make sure that we're putting policies in place and driving the agenda to combat human trafficking. And to your point, make the public square a safe place for faith again.
Joe Grogan, as always, great to talk with you. And I know that is exactly what you are doing in the White House as domestic policy advisor. We appreciate what you're doing, appreciate what the president and his team is doing, not only to help victims like this, but to stop the victimization of people by bringing faith back into public life in America. Thanks so much for joining us, Joe.
Thanks for your leadership, Tony. I appreciate it.
All right, Joe Grogan with the White House domestic policy advisor. And that number, I'll give it to you again when we come back from the break. But you can find it at the website as well. Awareness. And there's ways for people to be involved. Churches can be involved in this as well. All right, don't go away. We're going to continue this conversation on the other side of the break with David Clawson. Don't go away.
What are you reading this winter? Looking for timely and original commentary on human dignity, marriage, and religious liberty? We've got you covered at FRCblog.com. The content on our blog is written by our policy experts, FRC staff, as well as outside contributors. Read about a wide variety of topics like crimes in the criminal state of China, how Game of Thrones mainstreamed sexual exploitation, transgender regret, the rise of the detransitioners, and many more. Stand for truth by staying informed at FRCblog.com.
A strong case can now be made that China has become one of the most totalitarian states in human history. The Chinese Communist Party restricts religious practice and oppresses religious minorities on a sweeping scale, targeting those of every faith, especially Christians, Muslims, Tibetan Buddhists, and Falun Gong. The Chinese Communist Party's movement against religion has had and continues to have devastating consequences for those who simply wish to live according to their conscience. The Chinese Communist Party's consistent abuses of human rights prove that it cannot be treated just like any other country. The United States must address these human rights and religious freedom violations in their trade and diplomatic dealings with China. For more information about the human rights crisis in China, visit frc.org/China. That's frc.org/China.
In the U.S., the rate of chemical abortions is at an all-time high. This increase is being driven by the abortion industry, which wants abortion pills available through the pharmacy in the mail, making do-it-yourself abortions the future of the abortion industry. Abortion advocates once claimed that legal abortion would prevent back-alley abortions, but the health complications that often result from chemical abortion are eerily similar to those of back-alley abortions. For more information, visit frc.org/chemical-abortion. Last year, my brother Josh, a 37...
This is Washington Watch. I'm Tony Perkins. The website, TonyPerkins.com. Hey, let me remind you once again, men, Stand Courageous Conference, possibly coming to a city near you in just a couple of weeks. Actually, the 24th and 25th of this month, we will be in North Carolina, Kernersville, North Carolina. At the end of the month, 31st of January, very end of the month, we will be in Pensacola, Florida, 31st and the 1st. To find out more about how you can be a part of the Stand Courageous Men's Conference, go to TonyPerkins.com. You can follow the links over and register under Episode Resources. All right, we were talking with Joe Grogan, who is the domestic policy advisor at the White House regarding human trafficking. Today, he and Ivanka Trump along with Governor Brian Kemp, down in Georgia, visiting a couple of shelters that deal with sex trafficking victims. Anyway, he had a number. Here's a 800 number for those that might be in being trafficked, need help. The number is 888-373-7888. Now, this could also be you see something, you want to report it, you can do that as well. 888-373-7888, and that's at the website TonyPerkins.com. All right, we were talking about it with Joe, who I work with on a number of issues, about dealing with the symptoms, and that's what human trafficking is. It's a symptom of something that's much deeper. I do think that this administration is also addressing the source of the problem by allowing, encouraging, protecting religious freedom. Not only were these facilities, a lot of these facilities dealing with the victims, faith-based, but what's leading to these people being victimized? Well, I would argue it's a loss of morality. It's a loss of an understanding of right and wrong. It's a loss of an understanding that every human being is created in the image of God and therefore has value intrinsically, and that other human beings are not there for our pleasure or for us to use. That's a utilitarian view of human life. Joining me now to talk more about this is David Clawson. He's FRC's Director of Christian Ethics and Biblical Worldview. David, welcome back.
Thanks for having me, Tony.
I mean, I'm certainly encouraged to see this administration and the work that they're doing to deal with some of the social pathologies, and certainly children being abused and trafficked, which is a much bigger problem than most people know about or want to know about. But it's real. It's happening in neighborhoods all across America. But in part, it's because of the loss of right and wrong, morality, transcendent truth, whatever you want to call it. But at the root of that is when we lost the idea that God created man in his image and therefore having value, and that we are to treat that other person with value. When you throw all of that out, this is what you get.
That's right. So you and I talk a lot about worldview, and you know, worldview is simply how one views the world, what is true, what is wrong, what is right. And unfortunately, when a culture loses a biblical or a Christian worldview, it's easy to begin seeing people as objects to be exploited and objects to be used rather than subjects who are made in God's image and possess inherent value and inherent dignity.
Right. And as Jesus said, summing up the commandments, love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul. And the second is like unto it, love your neighbor as yourself. Pretty simple. But if we followed that, we certainly wouldn't be seeing this massive rise in child exploitation, human trafficking. I mean, we've got the Super Bowl coming up. And that is actually one of, and I've talked to a number of people that are in human trafficking, sex trafficking. That's one of the biggest events where people, children, women are trafficked for sexual purposes.
That's right. And I'm grateful that we're raising awareness to this issue. I'm grateful the administration is raising awareness to this issue, because there's nothing more degrading and just flat out disgusting than exploiting people for sex. And so that's
especially children.
That's right. But it's a twisting of how we view people, how we view sex, how we view man and women, and how we're supposed to relate to one another. And so, again, I'm grateful that we're shedding a light to this. And as Christians, we need to be praying that more and more people get involved and shed a light on this.
And it is the outcome of what happens when a society or culture represses truth, morality, right and wrong. And folks, this is one of the reasons we're here, sounding the alarm over these issues taking place in our schools. The idea that, you know, you can define your own gender. This is all a part of the broader agenda that takes God out of the equation. And once you remove God from the equation, then you remove his provisions from the equation, meaning the guidelines of life, the limits. And some people think, well, you know, God just wants to be a killjoy and keep us from having fun. No, he wants you to get the most out of life. And therefore, he gives man, whom he created, these guides. And, you know, we're fighting day in and day out, David, to make sure that this, you know, foundation of morality, which gave rise to the greatest nation on the planet, are not completely eradicated. I mean, tremendous damage has been done by the secular left that despises morality and limits. But again, this is what you get when you follow that course.
It is. When you take away the guardrails that God has given us in his word, you're going to see all sorts of social pathologies crop up when the Bible defines marriage between a man and a woman. And when you break the institution of marriage, you're going to see all sorts of horrible things happen in society. And so we're seeing that day and day again. When you abandon a biblical worldview, just horrible consequences happen in our society.
So let me ask you a question, David. Knowing that, as Christians, knowing that, that when we remove morality, that we end up in places like this where 100,000 children in America, I'm not talking about Ethiopia and Nigeria, I'm talking about America, are trafficked for sexual purposes. Knowing that, that when we take morality out of the equation, we take God out of the equation, to be silent, for Christians to be silent, is that loving your neighbor?
It's absolutely not loving your neighbor. It's even worse. James talks about that, that if you don't do what you know you should do, you're sinning. And so we absolutely need to shed a light on this, draw awareness to this. And Christians need to, you exhort listeners every day for Christians to take a stand. And this is something we do need to speak up and speak out boldly, prophetically, winsomely, and encourage people to stand for the most vulnerable amongst us.
Well, I want to transition to another topic before we run out of time that, again, shows the, all right, the hypocrisy of the left. Now, here is a sound bite from a California Governor Gavin Newsom. And he's talking about budgetary priorities of the state of California. This is not legislation. This is something he's doing. Listen to this. Bobby, play clip soundbite one, please.
We want to be a no-kill state. We believe we can make progress on that over a five-year period. We want to end euthanizations for dogs and cats. We've got a partnership with UC Davis. We want to invest $50 million in that space.
I imagine when you first heard that, you might have gotten excited that maybe California got religion. We want to be a no-kill state. We want to stop euthanasia. By the way, California is a state that has abortion all the way up to the day of birth. In fact, folks, you can see where it stands. Go to the TonyPerkins.com. We've got our interactive state map there. It is also a state that has physician-assisted suicide that was signed into law by former Governor Jerry Brown in 2015, known as the End of Life Option Act. Euthanasia. The law allows any adult, anyone over 18 with terminal illness, to request aid in dying drugs if they meet certain criteria. So here's a state that basically open season on babies, allows for euthanasia, encourages it in some cases, and they want to talk about saving cats and dogs. David, I'm missing something here.
So, you know, California is famous for misplaced priorities, but I think this does take the cake. I heard that soundbite earlier today. We want to be a no-kill state. And then what he means by that is that the state of California is going to invest $50 million into studying the issue on how they can make sure that no cat or dog is ever euthanized again in the state of California. When, like you said, in California, you can kill, you can abort a baby up until the moment that that baby is delivered. And so if we're talking about a inverted morality, this is what a inverted worldview looks like. And, you know, you and I have talked about this. We love animals. I have a dog. My sister's about to adopt a dog. Animals are great.
Right.
But there's a fundamental difference, and this is really important, Tony. In fact, in Genesis 1, there's some important principles that are very clear. One of those principles is that there's the difference between the creator and the creature. And the second principle is there's a difference between human beings who are made in God's image and everything else.
And the word's very clear in that. When God created Adam, he breathed into him. We don't see that with the animals because the animals don't have the breath of God. They don't have the spirit, the spirit of God, and a soul. And this, but is this not the path that you go down when you reject God's creative order? You reject God as the creator. And I know I commend people wanting to be conservationist. I'm a conservationist. I love the outdoors. I think we have a stewardship responsibility. But if you lose the priority and the order of God's creation, you get things inverted, and all of a sudden you start worshiping the earth. You start placing animals above people, and that's where we have problems.
No, so when we lose our principles, we become susceptible to absolute moral chaos. And that's what we're seeing right here. When cats and dogs are important and should be preserved, and babies are seen as disposable, that is a moral inversion that's taking place.
Now, I should also mention that California is a state that right now is being overrun with rats in certain places because they banned the use of certain pesticides. They also have become sanctuary cities where people are, the trash, the human waste, just blankets these cities, which is now becoming a health crisis. Yep. So again, God loves animals. He created them. He loves them. I love them. I've got animals and I have nothing against animals, but people take priority over animals. People take priority over the planet. Yep. God created them and made them distinct. We're not, we're not just this, pantheistic that we're all a part of everything. We are created uniquely by the hand of God, and we are to treat other human life in that manner, in that fashion.
That's absolutely right. And you don't get to a situation, because again, you look at the story, Tony, this is what moral chaos looks like, where animals are prioritized over people. This reminds me of another crazy story last fall over Union Seminary, where they had a service to plants, where they were confessing to plants.
Yeah,
you remember that story?
I saw that. I actually saw it. It was amazing.
And this is what Paul talked about, though. This is Romans 1, where
We're created to worship something.
Yes.
We're going to worship something.
Yep.
And if we don't worship the one true God, we will worship something.
Yes, you will. And it's either going to be plants or you're going to prioritize animals over people. And again, this is what moral chaos looks like. And when you lose your moral bearings that we learn from Scripture, this is what we're susceptible to.
And again, this is why, as believers, we have to, A, recognize there is transcendent truth. There is a God, and we're not Him. And we are to follow Him, to obey Him, and worship Him. And, according to Jesus, in Matthew chapter 28, we are to make Him known. Yep. And we are to teach as He has taught us. Therefore, this is why we must be engaged in the public policy arena. We must be engaged in the educational arena. We cannot sit silently by and watch what we've seen here. I'm just talking about just today, human trafficking, children being sex trafficked. And then we've got, we're talking about elevating animals. $50 million in a state that's broke.
Yep.
We're going to put $50 million to make sure that cats and dogs who are, I guess, strays, unwanted or whatever, are not euthanized while babies are aborted up to the day of their birth and people who have illnesses are exterminated through euthanasia.
It's horrifying. Another issue the president's drawn attention to in the last couple of weeks on Twitter is the homeless epidemic there in big cities in California, in San Francisco. So I think that $50 million could be put to much better uses. But again, the main part of the story that our listeners need to realize is just the moral hypocrisy. And I'd encourage our listeners to be praying for Gavin Newsom, the governor of California, that he would see that this is that he's being a hypocrite, that there's moral hypocrisy here, and that the unborn children would one day be protected in California.
And pastors need to call him out from the pulpit. Folks, out of time for today. David, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you, Tony.
And we do have resources at TonyPerkins.com. David has been working on a worldview series, number of these issues. Find out more. Go to TonyPerkins.com under episode resources. Follow the links over. Until next time, folks, I leave you once again with the encouraging words of the Apostle Paul found in Ephesians chapter 6, where it says, when you've done everything you can do, when you've prayed, prepared, and taken your stand, by all means, keep standing.
Washington Watch with Tony Perkins is brought to you by Family Research Council and is entirely listener-supported. Portions of the show discussing candidates are brought to you by Family Research Council Action. For more information on anything you've heard today, or to find out how you can partner with us in our ongoing efforts to promote faith, family, and freedom, visit TonyPerkins.com. Also, to leave a comment about Washington Watch, call our watch line at 1-866-372-7234.